Welcome to the Noble Ape Podcast, Ape Reality. I'm Tom Barbalay, and saving a number of different points. Version 0.682 of the Noble Ape Simulation was released over the weekend, and the interest in the podcasts was furious. Well, probably 10 additional listeners, maybe. The main problem with the release was that version tracker that I don't actively update, because it updates itself, picked the wrong version. So if you're one of the people that is new to the podcast, just started listening in, and you got the version of Noble Ape Simulation from Version Tracker, you have the wrong version of the simulation. You have one earlier. 0.682 actually had functioning ape script that you could use and interact with, and it gave the interaction back. Earlier version, perhaps not. So I recommend, if you've picked up the Noble Ape Simulation through Version Tracker and you're new to the podcast, that you check out the latest version on the website. I have emailed Version Tracker twice through today to try and get them to update it. I'm not sure whether they're going to. However, general mixed feelings with regards to this release of Noble Ape Simulation. I feel in some regard that the user base, the active user base of the simulation is ever decreasing. This is an emotion that I've had probably since when I used to do releases and 4,000 people used to download it, and then 2,000 people used to download it, and then 1,500 people used to download it, and then it got to 1,000, then it got to 750, and now I'm just feeling like I'm just doing it for, well, probably at least 10 times the people that subscribe to the podcast actively, but certainly a considerable subset. And I do think quite dynamically about the kind of issues that are causing people not to get the simulation. Or maybe they just have an old copy and they're happy with their old copy, which could be the reason too. Version Tracker comments certainly indicate this, that the large differences between the simulation releases aren't that great. I would really like a graphical version of the simulation, like a really high-intensity kind of game-related graphical version. I think that would certainly get downloads, and ultimately a screensaver, which brings me to my first email. Been in email correspondence with John Klein over the past day because his Brevet Creatures screensaver, which you'll remember from the Biota.org interview with Jonathan Klein, is something that I wanted to put on my new Mac, as one might. The screensaver technology for the Mac in particular comes through Objective-C, which is not something that I use particularly, and it's something which would require a bit of additional programming to get the Noble Ape Simulation screensaver. Of course, that's what I'm thinking of the long term, is actually creating a screensaver version of the Noble Ape Simulation as well. Another thing over the weekend that I did was install a local area wireless network, and this would be extraordinarily beneficial in the creating of some network component to the Noble Ape Simulation as well. So all these kind of ideas are ticking in the back: screensaver, network component, Noble Ape Simulation. But in the next version, I'd just like to get dynamic files right, and I also need to reduce the number of source files for something very strange called US copyright registration. But enough of that. More on another podcast, probably. So anyway, I've been corresponding with Jonathan Klein with regards to getting an Intel version of Brevet Creatures, and Jonathan mentioned, and this could be the first time this information has gone out, however it could be in the Brevet forums, I haven't checked it. Jonathan is working on a Windows version of his Brevet Creatures, and people will remember from Biota.org interview, the Mac version of the screensaver got so many downloads that people actually came to the Noble Ape site. They were hungry for more artificial life-related stuff, and the feedback that I received was that people were coming to the Noble Ape site based purely on Jonathan Klein's Brevet Creatures screensaver, so a release for Windows for Brevet Creatures, absolutely astronomical, like an atomic bomb, basically, for the artificial life community in terms of getting interested eyes, or even mildly disinterested eyes, on artificial life. So I'm willing to do whatever it takes with Jonathan to get out the Brevet Windows screensaver and the Mac screensaver update for Intel, and maybe in the very distant future, a Noble Ape Simulation screensaver. What it will look like, Only time will tell. Moving on from that, some background in the Biota.org interviews podcast. I did a little personal podcast for it probably month and a half ago, because technically the Biota.org interviews podcast has been on holiday. And yes, I'm doing the rabbit ears with my fingers when I say on holiday for the summer period. It's actually been a combination of factors. Me working more than anything. I'm consulting in the evenings, which makes recording these podcasts particularly interesting. But it means that the weekends in particular are pretty well written off, other than basic correspondence and some minor development on the Noble Ape simulation. But doing full-scale interviews that typically take between 1 and 4 hours in order to edit together is just off the charts, basically. I am getting, however, Biota conferences audio from 1997 through to 1999, which will be absolutely wonderful. In fact, maybe even 2001. I think maybe even the last one I'm getting the conference audio, which means I'll be able to do a weekly release of conference audio proceedings, provided they're interesting enough. I'm just bored with podcasts of audio proceedings where it's not particularly exciting, so I'm going to have to edit out some of the dry ones, I think. But it will be very interesting in the Biota.org interviews to have the conference proceedings, but I digress. Biota.org interviews, I did a little personal one probably about 6 weeks ago that talked specifically about the Wikipedia entry. And the Wikipedia entry for Artificial Life was absolutely appalling. It's still pretty crap, actually, which kind of disheartens me. The issue with Wikipedia is that if you have anything that you're remotely attached to, you can't contribute to it. Which is very strange, because you'd think you'd probably be one of the best contributors. But the idea is that you're supposed to have a relatively neutral version of your life. And just to disclose this, or your life's interest, just to disclose this, I did put the initial, I think I put the initial Wikipedia page associated with 8Script online. Can't remember whether I did the initial one or I did the one from initial. And thanks to Pedro. Pedro put online Noble Ape, he put online my bio, and from those things I was able to go back and just mildly manipulate those. You've got to appreciate the whole ethos with regards to Wikipedia and you're not editing your own entries. That only happens if you know that, and I knew that slightly after when I did the initial, well, actually probably about 6 months after I did the initial touch-up and put ApeScript online. I'm now no longer touching any of those things. Artificial Life on Wikipedia, pretty rubbish entry that misses all of the 90s, which strikes me as really surreal, particularly doing the Biota.org interviews with a whole series of people that started their amazing Artificial Life projects and developments through the 90s. You'd think Wikipedia would actually have that online, but no, it doesn't. So I put this out to the Biota.org interviews audience, which now numbers more than 100, which is in itself a great thing. But I put out to the audience that they should go and edit the Wikipedia entry and actually create an accurate reflection of what has happened in Artificial Life over the past 15 years, because it isn't currently represented. And quite frankly, the little press release associated with the Artificial Chemistry Project in 2000-ish just seems a little tacky. It's like a tack-on afterthought. It's like, nothing happened in the 90s, but mysteriously in 2000-and-something, you know, IBM, Big Blue, created this protein-synthesizing artificial chemistry. You know, it all started again, thanks to corporate America. John P. Daigle, who I've interviewed twice on Biota.org, in text form with his Ailes team project and in audio form with the Biota.org interviews podcast, has an online pseudonym, and he went in and actually added my name, yes, your humble podcast muser, to the Artificial Life Wikipedia entry. And that in and of itself was somewhat emotional moment, and if you look at John P. Daigle's related stuff, he really does, and he's a listener to this podcast, so I've got to give a shout out to John as well. He does say a lot of really positive stuff about the influence of my work, basically, on his own work and my work in Artificial Life in general. And I'd like to play a lot of that down, because I think practically, until people on the street associate things like Wilright's spores with Artificial Life, and various things that appear in popular culture with Artificial Life, and until Artificial Life hobbyists are seen as actually being part of a much broader narrative, my feeling is that my efforts and project and interest is relatively small to almost insignificant, although it's a privilege for people like John to think of me sufficiently highly to actually put me in the Wikipedia entry with regards to Artificial Life. I would advise anyone who was thinking of doing additional tinkering with regards to the Wikipedia entry of Artificial Life, that they concentrate on actually exploring the detailed history associated with Artificial Life. All I can do through things like Biota.org interviews is put online information that basically enables people to get their own understanding of the history. And whilst I can't personally contribute to Wikipedia for reasons previously noted, I think that people that listen to this information, gather this information, get a sense of the diversity and the groups of people that are involved here, can probably write a pretty good history of artificial life from the late 80s through to the present day, which just isn't online currently in Wikipedia. Boater.org, it's got some stuff, but Wikipedia, not so much. John emailed me today with regards to the interview I did with, well, actually, no, with regards to Noble Ape podcast, Ape Reality, associated with the interview I did for Boater.org, interviews with Brig Kleiss, talking about what are the broader aims of this artificial life experiment or project that all these independent hobbyist developers are engaged in and occasionally academics. And what interests me through just even putting that podcast out in the ether is the kind of gauntlet-like nature of the challenge that Brig is actually offering for artificial life developers. And basically, John notes that this is his own personal struggle, for want of a better term, with regards to developing artificial life, that this is actually what he's looking to show or create or develop in a greater way. And I think certainly the beauty of artificial life is that there are so many similar projects. If you look at the artificial life as artificial intelligence in a simulated environment, obviously you have different modes of simulating artificial intelligence. In terms of evolution, and here again I cite Gerald de Jong and his Darwin at Home, as well as the wide variety of genetic simulations that you can see. Gene pool is another beautiful example of this. You see that there are evolutionary components that you can simulate with artificial life. There are broader philosophical issues associated with artificial life, which some developers delve into. I've tried to in these podcasts. But there are just so many aspects that you can do things with artificial life. And I think this one challenge that Brig is putting up is something that artificial life developers really need to be cognizant of. I don't want to just repeat that podcast, but I do want to say that it's wonderful that artificial life developers are actually, you know, this is an additional kindred mind that come through artificial life developers, that they are sitting and thinking about how do we actually create something which can evolve not just in a selection of pre-programmed results and a way where the program can kind of converge on expected results, but where can we start creating things that we'd never even imagined? And I think this is the wonder aspect of artificial life, which really has in some sense been neglected in the kind of broader history of artificial life. And I think if there is something in the near future being the next 10 years, that artificial life developers could look at, it would be with regards to the stuff that Brig is talking about. And not talking about in terms of his panspermia, but in terms of creating an environment where new things can come out of what looks like a relatively level playing field. And certainly this is touched to John P. Daigle. And I think, you know, kind of footnote to all the stuff that I'm doing with Boater.org interviews, the idea of collaboration really is, if not explicit, at least secondarily implicit in the podcasts. And it's wonderful that people are out there, you know, conversing, maybe through email, maybe through podcasts. I certainly feel this with regards to Gerald de Jong's Darwin at Home as well. Exciting times to be developing artificial life, and I think this idea of a community, in some sense a synthetic community, is only being strengthened by things like Grey Thumb, which is doing another public demonstration this evening, which will be videotaped. And I'll be sure to include links to the videotape with that in my correspondence with John Klein. This was something that came up in conversation as well. I hope to be able to pick Jonathan Klein out of a lineup in the future. I couldn't pick him out of the original Grey Thumb photographs that were online, but it's really exciting what's going on in Boston, and I hope that in some sense these podcasts are contributing to that, and I hope that people that are tuning into the podcasts are getting excited about artificial life too. I'd like to see this somewhat reflected in emails to me. So I will read emails out on the podcast, as I've shown. I will talk about emails that come to me on the podcast. Tom@NobleApe.com. Still green t-shirts. Another good reason to get in contact. Green Noble Ape t-shirts, even a few white ones still available. And a single original manual, which is still up for the taking for people that get in contact. Thank you very much for tuning into this podcast. Look forward to you tuning into the next podcast.